Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. What are the opportunities for young people to serve, especially during those years after high school, after college? We're going to talk about some of those opportunities this week. Today we're going to talk about those and in the future as well about opportunities to volunteer, to serve as a missionary. Those are all possibilities. Those are all options. And we're going to find out more about that as we go to the Beautiful Feet Conference in Seward, Nebraska today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website. Go to kfuo.org and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section, and you can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin there. Joining me live from the Beautiful Feet Conference, the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference 2015, taking place at Concordia University, Nebraska today, and started yesterday, going on today into tomorrow, David Fiala. He's the Assistant Director of Missionary Recruitment in the LCMS Office of International Mission. David, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Hey, good morning, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, glad to have you. Looking forward to learning more about the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference there in Seward, Nebraska. What is the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference all about?
Beautiful Feet Mission Conference started in, mid-90s by a number of students at Concordia University Portland and some interested faculty members and connections with then World Mission. And it was basically an opportunity for university students to hear more about the mission of the church and how they could participate in that when they would graduate. And there also was a layer of doing personal service events during the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference. So you're learning about future service, and you yourself are also doing some immediate service in the location of the Beautiful Feet Conference, which flip-flops from one Concordia to the next, one year to the next.
Well, very good. And what brings you to the Beautiful Feet Conference? I could take a guess.
You could take a guess. Yes, I am here to get word out to university students as they're studying about opportunities to serve when they graduate, so they could be missionaries with Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I believe that talking with them over and over and over during their college days has probably a more profound effect than meeting somebody once the day before they graduate and inviting them to serve. So it's about regular contact and repeated invitations and sharing information about service opportunities.
And I gather you're making some great connections. I know we have some students lined up here to share with us their perspective on the conference today as well. Looking forward to talking with them. Before we get to them, what are some of the opportunities for those young adults, maybe that college age, those college age years? What are some of the opportunities for them to serve as perhaps as missionaries?
We do have opportunities that college students can serve on even before they graduate from university. We do send a lot of short-term missionaries and short-term teams, typically during the summertime. But we've also had conversations about doing things during university breaks. Those have yet to really flesh out. But we're trying to be flexible to work with the different Concordias to find opportunities for students to engage in international mission activity while they're still students. So short-term opportunities do exist. But primarily what I'm looking for here are connections with students who would be willing to serve internationally when they're completed with their studies. So they will have their bachelor's in hand and they go around the world and they do part of their vocation, typically connected to what they've been trained to do. But of course, in mission work, you find yourself doing things that you were not trained to do and you find out how this all really works.
Very good, very good. Well, I'm excited to talk with some of the students who are attending the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference today and hear what they have to say about learning about mission opportunities. We're going to go to let's go to Jordan first. And David, I'm gonna put you in the background here for a little bit. You'll hear everything going on, but we're going to go to Jordan at the conference. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jordan. What school do you attend? What university do you attend?
I attend Concordia in Portland, Oregon.
Very good. Very good. What brought you to the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference?
Well, I know God is calling me to do missionary work, and I just don't know where or what I'm going to do yet. So this is a great opportunity for me to learn about all the different resources and opportunities that are available to me.
Very good. What are you studying right now at Concordia University in Portland?
I'm a theology major with an emphasis in missions.
Wow, exciting. Do you have a certain part of the world or a certain type of mission that really interests you?
I really enjoy working with children, but I don't really have a specific area that I feel called to yet, but I have been surprised the last couple of years to learn that I'm definitely falling in love with Southeast Asia. I was able to go to Vietnam and Cambodia on mission trips there the last two summers, and it's just one of those places I never thought I'd go, but I'm falling in love with it. So,
well, very good. What are you learning at the conference? What have you done so far?
Well, we just got started last night, so we've had a couple main speakers, and it was really interesting to just hear about their different takes on how you can do mission work abroad and at home. And so right now we've talked about how you can do missionary work where you are right now and living the life you are and how that can be a part of your daily life.
Very good, very good. What do you hope to leave the conference with? The conference wraps up tomorrow. What are you hoping to leave the conference with?
I think my favorite part is making friends from around the country who all have the same passion or similar passion. And it definitely like bonds us together in a different way. And I always look forward to coming and making new friends and leaving with even more friends than I came with.
Very good. Very good. Have you had a chance to talk with David Fiala there a little bit at the conference?
A little bit. This is actually my third one, so I've talked to him the last couple times too, but not so much yet this weekend.
Well, I'm glad that you're enjoying your time at the conference and learning and thinking and considering missionary opportunities. What is your encouragement to perhaps that college freshman as they're entering into college and thinking about their future vocation, thinking maybe serving as a missionary might be an option? What are the things that have shaped your perspective and helped you consider serving as a missionary?
I think the biggest thing for me was something my professor told me my freshman year when I was considering going on a mission trip after school got out. And I was concerned that I didn't have the money to pay for it. And he told me, don't worry about it. If God wants you to go, don't make money an issue. If you want to go, go. And that has definitely like changed my perspective on the whole thing, because it doesn't really matter if it's a short-term mission or a long-term mission, or if you're going to do it at home or if you're going to do it vocationally. Like, money always wants to be an issue. But don't let money be an issue. If God wants you to do it, to work it out.
Indeed, indeed. The Lord provides, right? Ebenezer, the Lord provides.
Definitely.
Well, Jordan, thanks so much for sharing some time with us today. Hang tight, hang on the line, and you'll hear us here. I'm going to bring in some of the other students as well. We may come back. We'll see. Thanks so much for being our guest here on Faith and Family.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, thank you. Let's go to Jason now. Jason, thanks so much for joining us this morning on Faith and Family.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Jason, where are you a student?
I'm a student at Concordia University in Chicago.
My alma mater as well. Jason, what are you studying at Concordia University, Chicago?
I'm studying secondary education in math with a minor in theology so I can teach in a Lutheran school.
Very good. And what brought you to the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference?
Well, I have a lot of friends who go, and I went last year as well when it was in Texas. Learned a lot, picked up a lot. And so I've been involved in a lot on campus this year, a lot of ministry and a lot of different activities on campus. So it's nice to come to an event where I can sit back and participate and be fed, kind of rejuvenated, while also learning about other students who go to other schools, the awesome things that they're doing on their campuses.
Hmm. And so what are some of the things that that you do as a student at Concordia Chicago on your campus to be a servant? What are some of the things, perhaps maybe something you learned last year that you brought back with you to Concordia Chicago?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I have that I get to do on campus is I'm a spiritual life resident assistant. So you have regular RAs in the dorms, on the halls, who are there for the students, do all of the programming and things like that. But then in each building, we have one who's focused solely on spiritual aspects of campus life. And so I get to talk with residents. I also lead some programs for them so that they can be involved and kind of stay connected to their faith while just forming relationships and learning about where our residents come from, just kind of different aspects about their life.
And what have you enjoyed about the conference so far this year, or is there a specific part of the conference that you're really looking forward to today or tomorrow?
I've really enjoyed already being able to meet the people in my small group. We have different small groups that everyone's a part of, six, seven, maybe eight people. And we really talk about the main sessions. We kind of debrief on what the speaker talked about, and we get an opportunity to talk more about that with some people from the other Concordias. But I'm also looking forward to getting to know them better, because that's where I learned a lot last year about what goes on at the other campuses and some of the opportunities they have there for service, and ideas that I can take back to Concordia Chicago and serve there.
Outstanding. Outstanding. What year are you in your studies?
I'm a junior.
Aha. So a little light at the end of the tunnel, one more year and ready to head out in the field. Are you thinking about serving as a career missionary or maybe a geo missionary?
Career, not so much, but being that I want to teach in a high school, mm-hmm. I would love to take the high school students that I work with on short-term mission trips. And David, Seattle, and I have been in conversation about that.
Very good. Very good. Well, Jason, thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family and sharing with us a little bit about your experience there at the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And now we're going to go to Emma. And let me make sure I have the right line here. Let's go to Emma. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family. Emma, where are you studying?
I am studying at Nebraska. You're in Nebraska, and did you ask where or what am I studying?
Well, first of all, where? Are you studying at Concordia University there in Nebraska?
Yep. Yes, I am.
Very good. And what are you studying, Emma?
I am elementary ed with an art concentration.
Fun. Well, yep. What? Why are you attending the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference this year?
I attended last year, and it was like a really great experience. And then just having it here in Nebraska, I've been able to help out with a lot of just getting it together and the opportunities with that.
Hmm. Very good. And what are you learning this year? What are the sessions or activities at the conference that you're enjoying the most?
I think what's speaking out to me the most is like we're all called to be, you know, missionaries, and just, I mean, it doesn't have to be out in some place big and new. It's just right here, right now. We're called to be a mission right now. It's not all about the future. I mean, that's something to look forward to, but I mean, the main focus is just where we're at right now and making sure that we're just at work right here.
What are the service projects this year that you're involved in?
Just many service projects. There's all throughout Seward. The one that I will be going to this afternoon will be at, they have Seward cross making, and so they make these wooden crosses, and I believe they give them out to a lot of hospital patients, just kind of a comfort thing for them. And so that's what I'm going to be doing and experiencing. I know there's like a lot of just like food packaging, maybe just building relationships with older residents here, and there's just a lot of things going on. So, yeah.
Wow. Looking through the list, I didn't realize, I just had a chance to look at the list of the projects going on this
yeah.
week and at the conference, and it is quite a lengthy list. You're right, a lot of them around that part of Nebraska, and how amazing to see so many students, so many young people involved in these projects. How many other students there might be at the conference this year?
There's about 300 total, I
wow.
think, of everyone here. Yeah.
Wow. And so are some of your friends from Concordia Seward there attending the conference, who are there on the campus as well?
Definitely. We have like, I think, 90 students from Nebraska attending.
Wow. Well, that's outstanding. What are you, what year are you?
I'm a sophomore this year.
Aha. Uh-huh. So part of the way into the program and an education major. What are you thinking? What are your hopes, your plans after you wrap up your education there at Concordia, Nebraska?
That's a really good question. I really don't know exactly where I could see myself going completely, like, to a different country, overseas, to a new state, but yet I very much am a homebody and could just be at home, too. So, who knows?
So, what are you hoping to take away from this conference as you... you don't have far to travel, but what are you hoping to gain from this conference and bring back into your... whether it be your daily life or your future vocation?
For me, I think it's just building confidence and just really getting fired up about being just a mission right where I'm at. You know, sometimes I think that's the scariest, is just showing others the gospel and the love to others while it can, you know, just getting out of your comfort zone with the people that you're most comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Any advice to students who might be considering the attending the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference in the future?
If you just got a little bit of, like, any sort of mission part in your heart, I say just go for it, because that's kind of where I was at last year. I was just felt like I was kind of being called to for mission work or something and didn't really know what I was going to go with. And I had someone just tell me, hey, you should do this. You know, it's just for 3 days, and it could completely change your life. And I'm just so blessed to be here right now and just wanting to build connections with people and just see where where those connections will take me.
Very good. Well, Emma, thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to go to Benjamin. Ben serves as a geo-missionary. Benjamin Helge, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Welcome to Faith and Family. Thanks for being our guest today. Looking forward to learning about your service as a geo-missionary. Ben, what is a geo-missionary?
Yeah, good question. Geo-missionary, just a fancy term for globally engaged in outreach. And so it typically means you serve for about 2 to 3 years somewhere. So you're not a career missionary, but you want to serve internationally for some amount of time. And often it's with teaching English or doing something with schools, with youth, but it varies around the world.
And so where are you serving the Lord presently?
I'm currently in the city of Havířov, in the suburb called Šumbark, in the eastern part of the Czech Republic, in Silesia, if you know that region at all. Pretty much all the way east, about 20 minutes from the Polish border, and maybe 30 minutes from Slovakia.
And what are some of the ways in which you're serving there in the Czech Republic?
Yeah, I'm currently, I teach about 3 to 4 schools each week. Just conversational English is a means to build relationships with the students and kind of connect them to a local church plant that the local church is trying to implement there. And so I'm just kind of the face, the interaction for students to have a way to come and learn more about the gospel, to hear about this great news that they don't get to hear pretty much anywhere. So I'm this connection for them, and then also for random people I meet every day. It could be children. It could be elderly, my next-door neighbor. She's become my Czech grandma almost. And so I just interact with people in a different way almost every day. But God brings these encounters each day so that his name can be praised.
Ben, what led you to first consider serving as a geo-missionary?
I got a good story for you, actually. I'm actually a Concordia Irvine graduate, and I was studying music education there. Mm-hmm. Never really thought about going into mission work, but it was kind of one year, my junior year, there was a trip going to Hungary to do an English Bible camp, and my buddy was, we were watching TV, and all of a sudden he asked, hey, you going to this meeting tonight? And it was for this trip. I said, well, I hadn't thought about it, but I decided, okay, I'm not doing anything. Might as well go learn something about Hungary. It was interesting. So I end up going to the meeting. My roommate, he doesn't go on the mission trip, but I end up going. and it was for about 3 weeks. We're teaching English, had a great time. And after that, I said, okay, I got to go back. And I ended up going to China the next year, then back to Hungary. And it was kind of each summer God led me to see, like, okay, you know what? You're studying music and you can use that, but I think I had a different plan for you, is what he was kind of saying. So that's how I ended up getting to where I am now. And I love it. I love how God works and that he's brought me to this place.
Well, that thanks be to God for that, and that he's given you the place and the time to serve and to use the gifts that you have to teach English and to build relationships there in the Czech Republic. And that's great. What is your encouragement to the students who are attending the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference right now?
My encouragement is that God knows exactly where he wants you. And so whereas I had no idea where I would be now, God knew. And I think there's great comfort in that, and that he will use you. He says that he will use you wherever you are. And so it doesn't mean you have to go to the Czech Republic or anywhere. It's great if you do, right? But even here in Seward, like we've heard, there's much to do, right? The gospel is needed to be shared everywhere. So God will use students wherever they are, wherever he leads them, and they just follow.
What, Ben, what has been most surprising for you in your time serving as a GEO missionary?
Most surprising?
Any time
that I've talked to someone about Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world, they listen. And I don't know if it's cultural or just happens to be where I am, but no one has really rejected me to talk about this. And so coming from America, where sometimes it seems like we talk about it and get shut down maybe quickly, I never experienced this actually over the last 2 years. And so God is working in piercing hearts, and I praise him every time I have the chance to talk about him, that he will work in their lives and that his spirit will be moving. So maybe that's one of the greatest surprises I've experienced being there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Ben, thanks for sharing your story with us about serving as a GEO missionary. I think it's a great opportunity for young adults. Well, for anyone really to serve, for any adult to serve, but certainly ideal for our young adults as they're during those college years or finishing college. It's a great way to serve the Lord and to learn and gain some experience as well.
Definitely.
Well, thanks for being our guest today, Ben.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm going to go back to David Fiala now with Missionary Recruitment, the LCMS Office of International Mission. David, as you see all these bright young faces coming into the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference, and they're learning about opportunities to serve, whether it be at home or abroad internationally, what do you think as you see this next generation of young people who are interested in serving the Lord in a variety of ways?
Every time I've come to the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference, and I've been to a few over the years, I am encouraged that the Concordia University system is still doing an amazing job educating the next generation of Missouri Synod Lutherans, as well as many people who are not connected to our church body, and they are shaping them into future professionals. And many of those future professionals are our future professional church workers who are going to be receiving calls from congregations and districts and schools and parishes. And this is amazing when they congregate here, because the Beautiful Feet Conference basically is a summons, if you will, for people who have a curiosity about the mission of the church or a deep personal desire to be in the mission of the church. And it's also just a curious point. I was at a table I was at yesterday evening. I learned that there was a student who came with one of the Concordias who's not a Christian. So here, even here at this event where the gospel is being proclaimed, there is the possibility that someone who has no idea who Jesus is and what he's all about, the Holy Spirit's going to work through the proclamation of that gospel, and this person is going to see 300 youth around who all have this faith. And that may be that complement to the gospel message, and the kid's going to go, wow, I want to know more, and what is this really all about? And maybe this may be an opportunity for that person, for the Holy Spirit to work in that person's life so they can come to faith. And if that is a tangential byproduct of this conference, which gets young people fired up about being in mission, that the conference itself is a mission. That's very encouraging to me, and this is not the first time I've heard that story. This has happened at previous events where a student has kind of just tagged along because of something to do, and they heard the gospel, and it was very real. And the people who they were interacting with over the course of the weekend were encouraging them and sharing scripture with them and sharing their own faith stories with them. And it's a very, very powerful event, and I see that the benefits are many. If you look at the history of GEO missionaries and even before the GEO program, the LTM program, the amount of participants in those missionary programs who attended the Beautiful Feet Conference, this was the launching block for many, many of our missionaries. And the number of short-term missionaries, GEO missionaries, who then take a step into career missionary service is enormous. So this is a building block at a very basic level, and it starts that stream of human resources that we have in our church body that the mission field is calling for. So it's a joy to be here every year.
With just about 30 seconds left, David, how can we find out more about becoming a GEO missionary or a career missionary?
If you're a Facebook user, you can search for LCMS Missionary Recruitment on Facebook, and you will see all sorts of opportunities for geomissionary service. You can also find us on the web, lcms.org/service, and you can find many things about many mission opportunities through LCMS via short-term and long-term and geomissionary programs.
Thanks so much, David Fiala, Assistant Director, Missionary Recruitment, LCMS Office of International Mission. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me, Andy. It's always a pleasure.
Blessings on the conference. And thanks to all the students who are attending the Beautiful Feet Mission Conference, learning about opportunities to serve the Lord. Thanks for those guests today. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk about a new book, Eternal Treasures. Going to revisit a conversation with Cheryl Swope about that. It's available now on Amazon.com.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
You gotta love Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas. They've moved to cut off all Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. When asked if the abortion giant will sue them in court, the governor said, let them, because then he intends to put the Planned Parenthood officials under oath, adding Texas does have hard evidence showing Medicaid fraud. Within hours of making this statement, officials from the Office of Inspector General raided three Planned Parenthood facilities in San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas. The Houston location is the largest abortion mill in the Western Hemisphere. They'll be looking for evidence they illegally used Medicaid funds for abortion services, something Planned Parenthood has arrogantly denied. Please pray for this governor and his life-saving efforts.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
This week on Lamplighter Theater.
We'll make those travelers pay dearly for our lost time.
We'll never have luck with that boy singer praying hard against us.
I will wound more than your arm unless you tell us the whereabouts of Mateo.
Mateo? I have never seen him, signore.
The road to Stainty is our highway to fortune!
Don't miss the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Join Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and thousands of congregations across the country as they observe Refugee Sunday, a time to celebrate the gifts migrants and refugees bring to the United States. Pick a Sunday that works best for your congregation to celebrate. New resource kits, including bulletin insert and poster, will be available soon. Sign up for our newsletter at lirs.org/rebuildinghope.
Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are discussing topics in education, Christian education. Perhaps you choose a Lutheran school for your child's education. Maybe you choose homeschool, or maybe you choose to partner with your child's with a Lutheran school as a home educator. We're going to talk about that today. How can you partner with a Lutheran school, or what are your options if you're choosing to homeschool? What are some of the things that you can do? And our expert on this topic, returning to Faith and Family, Cheryl Swope. She is the author of Simply Classical, A Beautiful Education for Any Child from Memoria Press. She's also co-author of an upcoming new book called Eternal Treasures. We're going to talk about that today as well. A recently elected permanent lifetime board member of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education, CCLE. We have them on here quite a bit as well. Cheryl, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's great to have you back in studio and looking forward to talking about eternal treasures today. I'm excited about this. I know it's not quite off the press yet, but I enjoyed what I did get to take a look at before, what I had a chance to read before, and excited. What prompted the idea for this book, Eternal Treasures?
The idea went back to a classical Lutheran education conference that the consortium had. We have various attendees. We have pastors, headmasters, homeschoolers, but sometimes we also have people from Synod. There was one in particular. His name is Bill Cochran. At the time, he was the director of LCMS School Ministry. I had led a session on Lutheran homeschooling at this conference. And again, this is several years ago. And Mr. Cochran came up to me afterward and he said, I want our synod to do something for Lutheran homeschoolers. That's really what started the process of thinking about what synod could do for Lutheran homeschoolers more, I guess, more formally. Then he passed that same vision on to Terry Schmidt, who is now the director of LCMS School Ministry. Terry read the manuscript of the first book that I wrote, which was, as you said, Simply Classical, A Beautiful Education for Any Child. Terry said he loved that book. He wanted me to write a handbook for Lutheran homeschoolers in particular, because no such book exists. That's how the book began. Now, they had never produced a book, really, the LCMS, of this type. So the deadline that I was given was 1 year.
Sure, no problem.
And you often hear about authors taking 7 years to write a book.
Right.
And it seems, how could it possibly take that long? But it really does. So with this book, I needed help. I asked a beautiful, young, new homeschooling mom. Her name is Rachel Whiting. I asked her to be my co-author because I knew that she could write very well. She doesn't think of herself as a writer, or she didn't before now. And she has four children, a boy and a girl, and two twin girls in North Carolina. And she was just kind of blogging about her experiences of teaching the faith with her children. And she wrote with such tenderness and grace that I just knew that she would be the perfect person to help me with this. She and I began, and even together, we couldn't come up with enough material quickly enough that was beautiful and compelling enough. So then I sent out a plea to 200 Lutheran homeschoolers, because we have, through ccle.org, we have a forum for Lutheran homeschoolers that's free to join. If you go to ccle.org and look for the homeschooling button, it's just an online discussion forum. So I sent out an SOS to these folks. They include pastors, pastors' families, some published authors, and people were so generous with their contributions. They started sending me pieces on vocation, on teaching special needs, on teaching from a law and gospel perspective. So all of these contributions just rolled in. My deadline was Reformation Day. This was last fall. And so we have contributors like Mary Murby, who has written a new little book called Whisper, Whisper, which is just a delightful little book for children. We have the Reverend Eric Rotman, who wrote To All Eternity, a really nice compilation of Christian doctrine for anyone really looking to explore the Christian faith. But also we use that in our own homeschool. And Pastor Rotman has written many, many things for LCMS. So the contributions just came in. We started editing. We have just a little bit more editing to go. And the entire book has its foreword by the Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison.
Wow.
So it's really been a mm-hmm. community effort, if you will.
Your previous book, Simply Classical, A Beautiful Education for Any Child, really stems from your own experience, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
As an educator and special education, if I remember correctly, was your background and,
right.
and became a home educator.
Right. I have a master's in special ed, mm-hmm. but it was really when my husband and I, about 20 years ago now, adopted babies. We could not have biological children. We adopted twins, a boy and a girl, when they were infants. They both had special needs. That was really when I began researching, like a lot of parents, mm-hmm. when you really begin researching education, is for your own children. Their special needs unfolded over the years to include autism, learning disabilities, various medical conditions, and eventually, for both of them, like their biological mother, schizophrenia, which sort of trumped everything. Hmm. We could not find a Lutheran school or a classical school of any Christian affiliation that were equipped to handle our children. So we began homeschooling, thinking we would take it a year at a time. And they graduated from high school 2 years ago from our homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
We are now embarking on post-schooling with my daughter
mm-hmm.
because there's very little, I'm finding, after graduation for such children, too. So we are continuing our lessons at home, even now.
So Simply Classical stems from your experience and what you learned along the way and what you wanted to share with other families that that home education, homeschool is something you can do and that this can work for any family.
And it can really be, as the subtitle says, a beautiful education mm-hmm. for any child. I was starting to develop a greater understanding of classical education, kind of the roots mm-hmm. of education from antiquity, but also embracing the Christian education through Augustine and then mm-hmm. really exploded at the time of the Reformation with Luther and Melanchthon. Johann Sturm, all of those Reformation era educators, trying to figure out how we could take this classical Christian education and bring this to special needs children.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Simply Classical is all about. I didn't have a guidebook, so it is the guidebook I wish I would have had, and also taking our mistakes and turning those into suggestions and lists and strategies and resources for parents of children who have special needs. It's not just for homeschoolers. That's also for schools, mm-hmm. though. I was recently consulting with a classical Christian school in Louisville. They are intentionally taking special needs children as a pro-life mission. They say that currently 93% of children with Down syndrome are aborted.
Hmm.
They seek to embrace specifically Down syndrome children, but really any child is welcome at their school. But then they needed to know how. They mm-hmm. knew the why.
Sure.
But they needed to know how to do this. So I spent a couple of days working with them. It's really an encouraging trend to see Christian schools and Christian homeschools embracing children with special needs with remarkable outcomes.
Hmm. I'm glad you brought up Christian schools. As Lutherans, we have a great resource. We have a plethora of Lutheran schools here in the United States. Well, even internationally now, we have Lutheran schools around the world. We are very blessed as a church body to have such a long history in Lutheran education and so many schools here in the United States. But sometimes we think, okay, Lutheran schools, homeschoolers, never the twain shall, you know, they'll never meet.
Right.
We've always thought that there's this big chasm between the two and that they're at odds with one another. That's not necessarily the case.
No, it's not. And I'm so glad you brought that up because that was really the vision here also. Here we have LCMS School Ministry mm-hmm. publishing a book on homeschooling. Who would have ever thought? It's not an us, them anymore. And we really want to merge our efforts. One of my colleagues on the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education, Pastor Paul Kane,
mm-hmm.
You've interviewed him before.
Sure.
He contributed a great deal toward a chapter that I called Our Unity, Working Together in Home, Church, and School. Now we're shifting to talk about the book, mm-hmm. Eternal Treasures.
Right.
So in this book, we really are bringing together in an intentional way our Lutheran day schools, any Christian schools, and homeschoolers. So here's what Pastor Kane says. He said, when parents consider the importance of Christian education of their children, they may come to different conclusions. Some parents ask their congregation to open a day school. Other parents choose to homeschool. Even in a congregation with a Lutheran school, you may find homeschooling families. Church day school families and homeschooling families should not see themselves as rivals or threats to one another. I see us in a common cause.
Mm-hmm.
That common cause became then the focus of this book, because all parents are educating their children at home, either unintentionally right. or intentionally, for better or worse. And we wanted to bring together schools and homeschools in that common cause. So our contributors included pastors and headmasters of schools mm-hmm. to a book on homeschooling. And I'm very excited about that aspect of it.
And you were able, with Eternal Treasures, able to pull together a number of contributors. I know you mentioned earlier the large number of, invitations that you sent out, over, 200 invitations, I think you said?
Yes.
to inviting contributors or contributions to this book. And so you have, as you mentioned, some who are headmasters, some who are homeschool families, all speaking from their own experience and what they've learned along the way. And this is gathered up into this piece that will be available for us, hopefully in the near future, so that the rest of us can benefit from their experience as well, from what they've learned about Christian education, faithful Lutheran education, whether it's at home, in school, or a partnership, how we can work together and do this well for our children. So this next generation is raised up with a faithful education, a well-rounded education that we see as what we kind of blend the lines between the two, that it's not, I send my child to school and that's where the education happens, and when they come home, we just, we don't do anything educational. As you said earlier, we're teaching our children at home, regardless of whether it's intentional or not.
Right. And that's where the handbook aspect comes. We have some pieces that I hope will be very edifying. Rachel wrote some that are extremely edifying for me as I go through and I edit and re-edit. Mm-hmm. I'm very pleased to read the pieces on teaching hymns, singing with our children at mm-hmm. home, praying with our children at home. There are articles on vocation, things from a Lutheran perspective that really haven't been delved into as much as I think they should have been. Things like teaching our children from a Two Kingdom perspective, mm-hmm. realizing that they are body and soul, that we do train for civil righteousness, but we also have to understand that our righteousness comes spiritually through Christ alone, his life, death, and resurrection for us. We also deal with a law gospel perspective on parenting and home education. So there are some unique aspects to this, and that's where the title came from. Is Eternal Treasures, Teaching Your Child at Home. Martin Luther said that we are to pay closer, more thorough, and continuous attention to the health of our child's soul than to his body, and regard the child as nothing else but an eternal treasure God has commanded him to protect.
So we are... we are to be good stewards of these gifts that God has given to us, these eternal treasures. Who could pick up this book and use this? Is this going to be useful to the first time homeschooler? Is this going to be useful to someone who's been homeschooling for 5 years and they think, well, I think we've got this down now?
Yes, yes, yes. And to schools, I hope, too. And I do want to touch on some schools that contributed. But I think we have a section on getting started, what laws you should know, and kind of the render unto Caesar, that which is Caesar's. There are those aspects that if you're just pulling your child out of school, maybe he's 11 or 16, and you just want to begin there. There are also things for people who start when their children are babies. There are a lot of our homeschoolers just contributed their own stories, how they got started homeschooling. Some were like us, where they had special needs and they really needed to adapt for that. Others are missionary families or military families who travel so much. They didn't want their child to have to be in seven different schools in seven different years. And this gave them the continuity to do that. Others simply saw homeschooling as a natural extension of their own vocation as parents. So anywhere along that spectrum, we hope to edify and also provide some good strategies. We have lots of lists of resources for teaching from little bitty on up, catechesis, as well as academics.
I know you shared Pastor Kane's perspective earlier. What did Lutheran schools say when you approached them about this book that you're working on for home educators? What was the response? Who were some of the schools that that contributed?
A surprising number contributed, and I know that this is only a small sample too. And the response was, "Please include my book, my school. Please include my school." So here are some. I know we've talked about this before, but Bethany Lutheran School in Overland Park, Kansas, they have a model that is worth any school going to their website to look at. They have an actual homeschool academy. So they probably do this as formally as anyone that I know of. They've been doing this for years. Bethany Lutheran School in Overland Park, Kansas. Every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon, children can come. Homeschooled families for things that are difficult to replicate at home. Art, music, PE, standardized testing is offered also, field trips. They can do any of those things as well. But every Tuesday and Thursday, I think it's 12:30 to 2:30, the children participate in those activities. They can even bring their lunches at noon and have, but they also have, they integrate them. So if you go to their website, you don't see necessarily a separation. So that's one model that I definitely heard from. That's Bethany School. Then Emmanuel Lutheran School in Mayville, Wisconsin. Here's what they said. Homeschool families are welcome to join us for specific classes throughout the week. We offer math instruction, Spalding language arts instruction, Shirley grammar, Latin and German instruction, music and art. All are welcome to join us for weekly chapel services, and homeschooling families are invited to participate in field trips throughout the year.
Latin. I'm glad you brought that up. That happens. We hear a lot about Latin in classical education. And I'm sure some of the classical Lutheran schools that are offering Latin are certainly on board with partnering with homeschool families. Are we starting to see Latin across the board in more and more schools? I know homeschool families certainly use it. Do you think we're going to see it more and more in schools?
I hope so. There's so many efficacious things about Latin, and I mean, where do we even start? That's like a whole other program, Andy.
Sorry.
But yes, I hope so. In fact, here, let me just read this to you. And my little girl, well, she's not so little anymore, Michelle, is listening right now. And so I want to read you from the foreword to this book. And Michelle is listening on our kitchen radio. We live an hour away, but we are able to get KFUO in our home. Pastor Harrison writes in the foreword to Eternal Treasures, Teaching Your Child at Home, he writes this, and he starts off, "Et veritas liberabit vos." Now, Michelle and I have been looking at the future tense, so I know she can do this. Et is and, veritas is truth, and truth, liberabit, which is the future tense, will free you, or will liberate, and then vos is the you, et veritas liberabit Vos, Pastor Harrison writes, and the truth will liberate you, make you free. That's the goal of a genuine liberal education. He continues, the rebirth of classical Christian learning, learning which rejoiced in truth, in ideals, in faith in Christ, in source documents, in the views of those who spoke truth across the ages, in music, in mathematics, in Holy Scripture, in confessional documents, in great books, in art, in great ideas, and in genuine science, exploded during the Reformation 500 years ago. In this book, Eternal Treasures, Teaching Your Child at Home, Mrs. Swope provides you, dear parent or teacher, with a veritable powder and keg, including match and fuse, to bring a great education to your own children today.
That sounds explosive.
Yes.
I think what he's illustrating there is just, you know, when you light a fire like this, when you light something like this, when you ignite something like this, how great it can be and what can result from it.
That's right. Right. Yeah. It's truly infinite.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I know there were a lot of contributors, and you mentioned some of the schools, and we were just, you know, a great example of Latin and how useful it is. I think the point that I was going to make is that this is where I would need, if I were a homeschooler, this is where I would need to connect with a Lutheran school because, or with another resource, because I would need someone to help with Latin. I had Greek, but I didn't have Latin as a student, so.
Well, and few of us had Greek. Most of us had neither. So in efforts to reclaim such things, mm-hmm. publishers have made resources very accessible.
Sure.
The publisher that I work with most closely, we're creating materials even for children with special needs to learn things like Latin or mathematics, mm-hmm. or reading. And Memoria Press is the publisher we used and still do, mm-hmm. for our Latin studies. They make them so that people who've never had things like Latin can learn. So there's a program called Prima Latina, which is just for second graders and their moms. It's very basic. Just what is a noun? What is, mm-hmm. a verb? Just five words that you study at a time. It's all broken down so that we can reclaim this education, mm-hmm. not just for our children, but also for ourselves.
With just about a minute left, when should we be looking for this book? Where should we be looking for Eternal Treasures? How we'll be able to get our hands on it?
The LCMS hopes to upload this to Amazon. They're not looking to make a profit. The Synod is simply looking to help, mm-hmm. Lutheran homeschoolers. So it should be uploaded to Amazon. We are hoping in October.
Going for Reformation again?
Come full circle, perhaps. Maybe we can.
So hopefully in October. Well, I hope you'll keep us posted so that we can share with our listeners as well, so they can find that resource on Amazon. I see the copy you're carrying around is giant. I'm sure the other one will be, the other copy will be a little bit smaller, hopefully.
I don't know. This is pretty giant, but he wanted a handbook, and so
that's what
we have
get.
Given a handbook and more.
It'll be the go-to book, absolutely, for parents for schools.
It is the only thing written from a Lutheran perspective, mm-hmm. yes.
Cheryl, thank you so much for being our guest today, sharing with us about this great new resource that'll be available to us very soon, and I always enjoy our conversations about faithful Christian education, classical Lutheran education with you, and this new resource, Eternal Treasures. Cheryl Swope, our guest today, author of Simply Classical, A Beautiful Education for Any Child, and co-author of Eternal Treasures, hopefully out due in October. Thanks so much for being our guest today, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.